Blog Talk Radio.
That's all right.
Okay,
man.
Okay, K-Tickle. If a pimp is running down the street, he's about to do what?
He's about to tell them hoes, stop all that damn talking and go back to damn what?
Down anywhere again. Rolanda.
Okay, I am going to go with, she said 80s.
Mm-hmm.
Characters in movies. There are a lot of women actresses in movies, so I'm going to say slightly lower than that. And I'm going to go, look, I sound like I'm on the Million Dollar
Jeopardy. Yeah, yeah.
Look, I would like to ask the audience. Oh, okay.
Hot wife to be loose. I mean, I need to know what Miss T-A-Z is going to look like.
I have a picture, yes, here.
All women have their backs turned in a long Indian dress. Which back is hers?
The big back, yes.
Man, she's got a big Nagami. Carrying over the threshold, I may need a wheelbarrow.
You black man like big box? I heard song, baby got the back. Baby got the back. I like big butts and I can't
hold up. Nice. Hold up, sir. Money a lot.
We didn't have no money. And here's the speech I gave DJ. We ain't got no money. All I got is $40 for gas. That's when gas was low. We ain't talking about just now, right? We talking about years ago in 97.
At least 20 years ago.
Okay.
And gas was low. You can ride $40 and go all the way back down south. I said, I only got $40. We can't eat. No, we can't eat. I said, I know this girl in Louisville. And if she don't look good, we ain't staying here. But if she look good, I'm going to ask her to cook us though. And I said, the whole time, man, you're going, please look good. Please.
But preach. Really?
Once I was with you, I'll never go back.
Truly.
Here is the lesson that I wanna teach.
Girl, I'm still waiting. Practice what you preach.
Oh,
yeah,
Lord.
Just like I said, I seen you coming through that door with that pretty smile. Debbie, don't hit me in the head with a brick. It's just entertainment, girl. Just entertainment.
From the second book, if it ain't making money, you said if I slap an H, I expect my money. Well, go on to elaborate, K Tickle.
Let me tell you something. It says what it says. If you put your money in a slot machine and your bag of a potato chip don't come out, you slap that machine. And what happens?
I'm through. Mr. Turner, for real, than a mug. Let's get this in a movie and get one of these young, up and coming hip hop artists to play Chris.
I agree, and that's what we're shooting for too, and just being able to tell, you know, give an alternate, you know, an alternate to our story in terms of hip hop. So,
correct. Well, I appreciate you for coming on. Like I said, I will stay in contact with you and definitely check on you from time to time. And when that next book come out, my brother, make sure you hit me up so I can get a hold of it. I'm one of your number one fans now.
Oh, man, I appreciate it. Listen, I'm a fan of the show, too. This is, you know, probably one of the best interviews I've had. You guys are, you know, absolutely great. I appreciate you. I appreciate everything you do. These type of venues are absolutely important because it helps artists such as myself, you know, for us to get to that next level.
Everybody else I see on the line, DJ, you in the house?
I'm here, babe.
Good evening. This is ATAZP live on Blog Talk Radio. Long intro as usual. Today's show is the state of urban music. I'd like to introduce one of the guests, I suppose, that is on the line now. LC, are you with me? LC.
Yes, I am. Good evening, everybody, and thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be on your show, Tess.
Also, I got our co-host, DJ. This is who I think it is. DJ, are you on the line?
I'm here, babe.
I can't believe, DJ, it's been, what, 2 weeks, 3 weeks you ain't been here, but welcome back, DJ.
Thanks, and I'm working with a migraine tonight, so you guys have to be nice to me.
Yes, ma'am. Oh, yes, ma'am. The subject tonight is the state of urban music. And also, I'm waiting on Thaddeus Cartwright to call in as well from Houston, Texas. He's the CEO of Black on Black Rhymes Records. If Sherry is listening, which I see she is, you might want to hit him up because Cat ain't on the line. Now, we're going to further go on. This is the state of black music, urban music today. I read on the internet, Drake came out with his album, if you're familiar with the rapper Drake, who's with Young Money, came out with his album, and he sold over 447,000 units in his first week, and he's number one this week. Now, he said that's the highest total of sales in 1 week. I want to know, how bad is today's music compared to the past? Basically, you know, long time ago, let's go like 20 years back, music was a little bit more polished. Artists were, what you say, a little bit more seasoned, you know, instead of the artists that we have today. Because I can pick several hundred artists that need to go back to the drawing board and, you know, continue to work on their craft. I'm going to start with LC just to get his opinion. How bad is today's music compared to the past, like, you know, the 80s, 90s? We're not going to go back too far, but how is it compared to the past?
Well, there's an interesting thing, Taz, that we could take it back. You said 80s, and hip-hop really only goes back so much farther than that. I mean, an argument can be made, started in the late 70s, early 80s, but the movement in hip-hop as itself, as you said, of black music, and to be honest, anyone that said it wasn't would be crazy. Of course, it is a black music, but it has crossed over to different audiences, white, Asian, Spanish, Latino, you know, and there's been different styles of hip-hop, but it is a black music, and, you know, evidence from the 80s with the Adidas and Run DMC, to LL Cool J and to the West Coast movement with Dr. Dre and Death Row Records in the early 90s, the music's always evolved. And the thing is, if you ask a teenager, who's hip hop for? Is it for us now who have lived through 10, 20 years of hip hop and have a judgment and have to weigh in on it, or is it equally for a 16-year-old that all he knows is the music of his day? So I would say, if you ask a 16-year-old that's into hip hop now, how is the music today? He would say it's great. I think if you ask someone that has been listening for years, you would notice the difference. And I'd hate to say it's worse than it used to be, but it certainly is different. It's even the sounds are more synthetic. It's more sampling. Technology has changed the industry. I just personally miss the days of a Tupac Shakur, where I think that was such a great loss, losing someone like him, because not to put it all on him, but there was so much more he probably would have done with hip hop. And something has got to be taken into new directions, and the direction it's now is synthetic, it's party music, it lacks substance. And there might be, although the problem is, there's probably so many artists out there that will never know that have great music and have a lot of substance. But when we're referring to hip-hop music today, we're talking about, obviously, I'm assuming the radio and what's exposed and what's sold. So my opinion mm-hmm. is I believe that there might be, there possibly and there probably is plenty of talented, lyrically talented, gifted artists out there that have a different music than what's played on the radio. And that's part of the problem, too. So I would say what we hear on the radio today, I'm not a huge fan of. I'll hear something once in a while I like. but it lacks the substance, it lacks some of the creativity. And I believe if you search hard and you're into music and you're into the underground scene, you could go out there and find a lot of talented people. But for me, it doesn't get better than probably the early to mid-90s, just from when I grew up in the era that I most appreciated.
LC, you seem like you was online with me when I was reading this information. Because I'm like, man, it's like he read it from where I was reading that. Also, we got on the line, area code 281. 281, identify yourself, Z-Talk.
Yes, this is Thaddeus Cartwright.
What's up, Thaddeus? We're talking about the state of urban music, man. This is what the subject is, the state of urban music today. And I just asked LC is in New York. This is Thaddeus Cartwright in Houston, Texas. You guys can say hello to one another.
Yeah,
hey, how's it going?
Very good. Thank you. How about yourself?
I'm doing great.
Thaddeus, I just asked, how bad is today's music compared to the past? And I went back 20 years, like, when hip-hop was just flourishing, but it started like LC said, in the mid-70s, late 70s. How bad is today's music compared to the past?
When you say bad, you mean the content of the music or just the industry in general?
It's all of it. yeah, that's part of it, too. All of it.
Well, I think the industry definitely needs to be made over, because I feel like the people that control what we hear isn't really considerate of the things that are appropriate. I think they look for the easy way to make money and exploit us doing so. So because of that, everyone knows that sex, drugs, and violence sell. And that's what you typically see in urban music now today, because it's the easy sell, it's got a proven track record, and that's what the big guys seem to promote. The sad thing about that is that it trickles down into our communities and our neighborhood, and it's like a ripple effect, and it doesn't do anybody any good except for the big record labels that put it out there. You know, I really don't blame the artists, because a lot of times I think some of them would like to go in other directions, but they feel like their hands tied, because, you know, to try to do something different than what they want would probably lead to them getting dropped or try to do it on their own, and which is tough. I mean, I've been trying to do music more positive and, you know, to promote a positive image, but again, it's hard to push that music into the ears of people where they feel like they can make money off of it. I think back in the days, you know, it was new to everyone, so they kind of let, even then they had some control on what was released, but I think because hip-hop was so new, it gave everything a listening ear to see if it would maybe catch on. But nowadays, because it's been in business, I mean, hip-hop's been around for over 20-some years, they just stick with the bread and butter, and that's sex, drugs, violence, and it's really distasteful, and it's kind of sad that we allow ourselves to still get exploited here in 2010 with something that we created ourselves, and we kind of let them control it. And I just wish that some type of way we can gain control of our own art again and not be exploited.
Man, I tell you, y'all both were like, y'all was on top of my shoulder reading what I was reading. I mean, both of y'all hit it on the head.
Can I add something to that, if you don't mind?
Yes. Yes. Go ahead, sir.
What I want to say is I agree with everything he's saying, and just to expand on it, to branch off, people have to realize that music is an art form. Right? Music's an art form. Music's not a business. When people think about music and hip-hop, we don't think of a business and a company. We think of music and creativity and all the beauty in that. And the problem is just human nature and the way things go, is that the reality is we have an economy, we have record companies, we have radio stations. These are companies, these are businesses, everyone's in business.
Right.
And it's all about making money. And like he was saying, it's not about who has the best music, and not everything is even exposed. It's a business, and these people are in business to make money. And when you combine that with the internet, the way the internet has hurt artists from making money, and there's a lot of easy downloadable music, it's just changed things completely. And his part about the content, I couldn't agree more. As far as they decide. These companies decide what's shared and what's going to represent hip hop. And there's so many other styles out there. But what's shown so much is the degradation of women and living a certain life, which a lot of rappers will admit is fantasy. It's just acting for so many of these people, and so many kids are influenced by that. And the whole ripple effect he's talking about, it's terrible, but nobody's thinking, these companies are not thinking about it, just like any food company doesn't think about if they're killing people with their ingredients, as long as they're making their money. So it's all about making money.
When you look up how bad is today's music compared to the past, some things that were said, today's music is disposable. In 20 or 30 years, Kanye West or Soulja Boy won't be remembered. Writing and performing was better in the 50s and 60s. But artists now care about the money and fame. Young people don't know what sounds good. They listen to so much crap without any context that they don't actually have taste. So you guys are hitting it on the head on that one.
let's be honest. I mean, what's good, I mean, there's no fact. There's no fact or it's an opinion. So, you know, when we say music's not good and what is good, everyone has a right and everyone has their own opinion. And you can't tell somebody that likes a song, somebody says this is a great song, if you think it's terrible, you can't tell them that because it's just your opinion in itself. So the point is that just not enough different music is being exposed. And the reality is a lot of the music today, which the comment you were making about, I think you were trying to say really, is about timeless. You know, a special record is timeless. Like Michael Jackson, like certain records from the early 90s, a timeless record you could hear 20 years from now and it still sounds brand new. And a lot of music today, you hear it and it won't sound, you'll always hear this era where there's certain rap music and certain music of any genre where it's always fresh. It's always, you could hear it and you say, when was that recorded? It sounds like it could fit in any time. So I think that's the problem, is that we're there's not a lot of timeless music, music that will last for years and will be passed on to other generations. It's
right.
Just very much for a young audience.
And another thing I would say, and I like to kind of piggyback on what you just said, is that, you know, in the hip-hop industry, it's like there's very few artists that have careers. It's like
right.
The industry, you, who's ever hot at the moment, you may get a second album, but they don't create careers like they did in R&B back in the 70s and 80s to give these people longevity, where some of the music that they make will be timeless for years. It's like this industry that is almost, you know, when you look at all the different genres of music, to me, they treat hip-hop as if it's just like the backwater of any music. And the way it operates is like, you know, we don't keep you on. If you're making money for us, you're good. And if you're not, we get rid of you. But what I was trying to get to is that because artists don't make careers in this industry, you know, they don't look for real substance in their music. They just try to make music for the
moment. Just trying to make a living.
That's right. That's right. And whereas
mm-hmm. They
know they're going to have three or four albums that they're going to get released because they got a deal, a real deal, then they take the time to really focus on their creativity and give some good music from time to time. But, you know, another thing is when it comes to hip-hop music, you know, they don't pool for a whole lot of, they don't pool into all these different writers to find, you know, a good song that matches that artist. Most of these lyrics are being written by the artist themselves or some friends of them. But, you know, with R&B and other types of music, they pull from thousands of writers of songs that they've been solicited to. So, you know, you get the best of the best, you know. Whereas hip-hop...
That's a good point.
Yeah, whereas hip-hop, they just a few little guys in a place. And, you know, you can only think of so much yourself or two guys. So when you got thousands of writers submitting their best work, and you got choices of your pick.
Yeah, it's a very good point you're making, though, because you look at pop music, country music, rock and roll, R&B. Look
right.
at those forms of music, and you're right. I mean, now we're talking, assuming that the level is the pro level, not an amateur level, but at the pro level of the major record labels, you have so many people writing songs for artists. But you're right, hip-hop is a very, and rap music is a very special music and very unique in that you don't see people submitting 100 songs to a rap artist to rap. No, it's rare. Maybe the producer he's working with, and usually they write their own material,
right.
Which does limit it. And one other thing I wanted to mention after what you were saying about how hard it is, for any young listener, if I could pass on anything from what I've learned about trying to make it in the music business, is that it is extremely hard. If you have a dream to play center field for the New York Yankees, people would laugh at you. And only because, it's not that you still shouldn't pursue your dream, but you should always have a backup plan and know that it's almost a 0% chance that it will happen because there's so few spots, like you said, there's so few labels. And anyone that's interested in getting into music business, more power to them. If you have the passion for it and you're doing it for the right reasons, you should pursue it. But if you want to have a family and you one day want to have kids at the same time and you know that, well, then you have to have some other alternative plans of making sure that you can still provide a living because it is that difficult with the way things are, even for a good artist, to make enough money to live a life and retire on. It's almost impossible.
Do you think a lot of that comes from not just the artists themselves, but the audience that is interested in the music? And because we come from such a microwave society that every artist knows that their time is limited and they've got to get in and get in quick. And you're hearing people say, you know, I'm already on my sophomore album and the other one hasn't even left the charts yet.
Yeah, you can't blame the artist because, like we're saying, the artists are nothing but an employee of a label. Very few
right.
artists that eventually get powerful enough to own a label. But the typical artist that you hear that's fresh, you just heard a new song, it sounds great. Who's that guy? Nobody knows him, but I guarantee you, as hot as that song is, he's nothing but an employee of that record label.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the fact of the matter. And how could you blame him for doing whatever he's got to do to make sure he holds on to his job, essentially, holds on to his living, and happy to make the money as quickly as he can because an average football career might last 3 to 5 years, and an average rap career might even last less if you're lucky. So you got to make the money while you can if that's what the goal is. If the goal is about money, how could you blame somebody for trying to make it quickly? If the goal is to express your music to the world, well, then you should be happy for however you do it, and you should be proud of yourself for pursuing it, even if you don't make millions and hundreds and thousands of dollars, because it's just unlikely.
Right, and that couldn't be said even more so. It's like one thing I run across a lot when I'm out trying to look for artists is that the passion of the music is not there in the hip-hop community, at least for what I see. It's very rare I can run across a young guy or a young lady that wants to pursue hip-hop that really has the passion to do. I work with a lot of young kids who said they wanted to give it a shot. I put a lot of my resources into them. And as the work became harder and more difficult as far as performing and preparing for performances, their whole ambition seemed to slack some. And so, again, I like to tell a lot of young people listening, if you want to pursue it, realize that it's just like any other work or job you do. You have to work at it constantly, every day, and you got to go in it for the right reason. If you're looking at it for the money, then chances are you're not going to stick with it.
Right.
But if you're passionate about it and this is what you love to do, regardless if you make a dime off of it, then I say keep doing it. But don't care because of the money.
Absolutely.
The hip-hop factor in today's society, you can look this up online. It's The Hip-Hop Factor in Today's Society by Lorraine Hayden. She said the only way to get a record deal is to be shot 10 times, use the N-word, and refer to women as bitches and hoes. Also, hip-hop music is dead. All is garbage. This is by Technical Savvy. He wrote this, hip-hop music is dead, all is garbage. Dumbing down lyrics on a second-grade level. Hip-hop took the turn for the worse after Biggie and Pac was killed. Today's hip-hop is poison to our children and to our communities. How do you fellas feel about that? I know y'all touched on some of this as y'all was talking.
Well, you know, I got a quick, you know, I'll let him go ahead. I have a quick comment on it. You sure?
Yes.
You can hear I can talk, man. So, and you cut me off anytime you got it. But real quick, is there something just popped in my head? I just thought of something. This is something we should definitely think about, or definitely at least write it down to at least pass it on, this idea. You know how you see in documentaries? I've seen a documentary in inner cities where they take the kids. They take the kids, and there's one person, a woman, that might be a beautiful woman on the inside, a 40-year-old, 30-year-old woman that wants to do something for the community, and she's into dancing. So I've seen a documentary where they get the kids together, and this is just something to get the kids off the street and get them into a positive, creative mode. And, you know, there's a lot of non-for-profit organizations out there that are gathering kids off the street and having them dance together and having them learn how to do things. But you know what? Nobody's teaching anybody how to write music, and no one's teaching anyone how to rap. You know, rappers is it's a real survival of the fittest. I mean, it's an intimidating business. You're scared into it. You have to feel like you have to fit in, that you might not be real enough, and then you have to have the nerve to get out there and do it. And no one's ever lends you a hand. I mean, no, there's no teaching. I mean, hip hop is basically you got it or you don't, and that's it. Where other kinds of music, people work with you. I mean, hip hop is very much let's see what you got, and then move on. And there's not no one seems to be teaching young kids how to write rap music, how to come up with ideas, how to be creative. It's a very unique music in that there's not much teaching. I don't find there's any teaching. It's either you find a super talent or not, and then the question is, does that person really have the drive to withstand all the agony it takes to make it?
That's right.
I just
wanted
to say. Right. There's not a lot of nurturing when it comes to hip-hop, like you said.
Not at all.
Either you have it or you don't. And I think a lot of the young guys, I speak on the guys because we know it's more of a male-dominated industry, which I think there's a lot of nice young girls out there that can really get down on the hip-hop too, but for whatever reason, I guess record sales just show from history women just don't do well in hip-hop as far as sales. So you see, there's still a lot of guys. But, yeah, that's one of the things I run across a lot is all of the guys feel like they have to be a certain type of guy to do hip-hop. They feel like they content, the way they act, the way they look, has to represent this very negative image.
Right.
And the more and more I work with her, the more I try to tell them, I say, well, you know, if you really want to stand out, you might want to do something a little different. But I see that a lot of them get discouraged when I try to talk them away from that type of persona. Because they want to go to the fast and quick way to make it. And they feel like portraying themselves as a gangster or some kind of pimp or mag works. And I think
right.
And we know from the past that it wasn't always like that. People like LL Cool J and the Q-Tips in the days and some of the others, they did very well, and they didn't never promote that. And I wish that they still had mainstream artists today that still represented that side, but for whatever reason, those guys even get overlooked. Even though they had great careers when they were younger, now they're still making good music. I got the Q-Tips album in my car right now. I think the music is really great, still jamming like it was back in the days, but you never hear it on the radio.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Just don't get it.
This poses my question. Is today's music culture responsible for influencing young people to exhibit bad behavior?
Well, your environment can play a very big part on your behavior. I put a lot of fault on the parents. I always go to the parents because I think if it start at home, if you do a good job at home, that's going to eliminate a lot of, you know, if your kid outside at 2 o'clock in the morning, you don't know where he at, then, you know, that's on the parents. But at the same time, the music can influence kids. I see it all the time.
Absolutely. And the thing is also that, of course, you hit it on the button. The parents and the home environment is number one for how children are being raised and for what they're being influenced. You know, who they're hanging around and who's their mother and father, and do they have a father in the household, and is their family together. All those things are most important. But once we get past that and past the fact that are these kids in a good school system and all that, absolutely. Is hip-hop responsible? No. I mean, is an athlete responsible because kids look up to him? You know, that's an argument that could be made. But a lot of people will say, well, so is movies. It doesn't mean that you should emulate what's in the movie. The problem with that is most kids understand the difference. Most kids watch a movie, and they know that somebody was acting. And the problem is those same kids, young, influential kids, they see a rapper, and they don't realize that might not be the same guy as the real person. They tie it in as being one and the same. They see LL Cool J, Lil Wayne, whatever they see on stage, they really believe that that's what the person is all the time. And
right.
Where movies, they assume and they accept that, that this is just an actor. And that's the difference. So it is more responsible than entertainment in general, hip-hop, for the urban community. I say no doubt about it. It's a big influence on how kids act and how they grow up and what they want to be and how they're just how they're influenced.
I have a clip from this guy named Roswell 73. You can look him up on YouTube. He does a whole lot of YouTube videos on his opinions on different things, and this was his opinion on the music business. He was just going off of what he heard today. Here you go.
It's time for the Roswell 73 show with your host, Roswell 73. Today's topic is the music industry. And now, here's Roswell.
The music industry has such a lack of creativity. Seriously. First of all, I have to say, there should be a tangible list of artists and beats that cannot be touched, altered, remade, remixed, or even thought about in a different way other than the original use by major record companies. Okay, remix it with your friends, make a buck or two, I don't know, use that to get your, you know, career off the ground, whatever. But seasoned veterans do not need to be using other people's stuff to make themselves more money, especially when they f*** it up. Reused beats, chain hang low. Really? A children's song? Really? You couldn't come up with something better? Ah, I forgot the name of the song, but they did Crazy Train by Ozzy. Ozzy should be on the list. Okay, don't fuck with anything Ozzy. It's classic for a reason. There's a reason he was the first of the rockers to get his own little reality show. There's a reason why it's Ozzy. Don't fuck with it, okay? Remember, don't fix what's not broken? Yeah, this right here. Okay, and then completely remade songs. This just gets me. The most recent of which is Died in Your Arms Tonight. That's kind of what struck this whole hatred for the music industry lately. It was on the top list, the girl was shaking her booty, and I honestly said to myself, Died in Your Arms Tonight. This has to be an actual, well-thought-out music video. Because there's no way you can booty dance to I just died in your arms tonight. But apparently you can when you got in the background. And that's what I call up. Another song. And this has been done way too fucking much, alright? I swear to God, if I have to hear another version of Baby Got Back, I'm gonna find the artist and I'm gonna shoot him. No, I'm seriously going to hunt down that artist and shoot them.
that dude was going off, talking about different artists and what made him sick about the music business today. You guys disagree?
I you know, he made some points there. You know, he almost sounded like a comedian at one point. Like, he was very sarcastic. And but I do understand what he's saying, and I agree with generally what he's saying. Although I would not be as angry as he is about the whole situation, because we have to accept that hip hop has from the beginning been a lot about remaking something, sampling something, and that's been the beauty of it, and that's been some of the artistic uniqueness of hip hop, is that's the only music, one of the only musics where you take something and you sample it and you speed it up and you add things. So that's cool about it in a way. I do agree it's too much of it, and it could go either way. It's a love-hate thing, because when you hear someone that takes an old 80s chorus from a rock song and you hear it in a hip-hop song, that's what crosses over, and that's what brings more fans into the music. People usually love it. So I understand. I don't like that about it, but I could see it going both ways, and I just want to say that it's got to be in balance, just not too much of it.
And to me, it's not really, like you said, it's not a bad thing. I think, again, it widens your audience or your fan base as hip-hop, and gives you an opportunity to reach this other audience. And it's okay with me, long as it's done good. I just don't like it when they remake something and it's not good at all.
Yep. Right. True. DJ, matter of fact, Thaddeus, DJ is the co-host here, and I didn't introduce you guys. DJ, you got anything to say to this?
Tonight I'm listening. Like I said, I'm really zoning out. I just took medicine. I'm having a migraine, and I'm really trying to pay attention.
Okay.
So go ahead, and I'm listening.
Okay, how you guys feel about this audio tone? going back to not being able to sing, this is on Shitty Music Monday. You can look it up on Shitty Music Monday on online. Audio Tone, going back to not being able to sing, T-Pain used synthesizers to mask his voice. And the guy that wrote this said, somehow this crap sells. I like it, but a long time ago, and I know I'm older than everybody in here, long time ago, with KC and the Sunshine Band, I bought the album. And it's all good. Man, I seen him live on New Year's Eve with Dick Clark. That dude was out of tune like a mug. And I'm like, what is going on? Of course, they enhanced his voice in the studio. And that was always looked upon as, man, if you can't really sing, you ain't got no talent. You know, we just looked down on that. If you had to do something to enhance your voice, and when you go live, you don't sound the same as your record. Now, they're using this audio tone like it's cool, the reversal. How you guys feel about that?
Well, I think it's an overkill right now in the industry. It's just too much of it. I think that a little bit of it would have been okay, but it's like way too much. But one thing I want to comment is it's not about selling the music no more. It's all about selling the image. So you don't even have to sound the best. If they can find something about you that's sellable, they package that up, and that's what they promote. And the music is just second. That's just another add-on to throw in it. So, like Britney Spears, they sold her look and the way she could dance at times. They knew she wasn't the best of singers, but she could dance pretty good and could perform well. They packaged it up, and it did well. It's very rare these days that you see a true artist that have the whole total package that can sing, dance, and look the part. It's just hard. So I think
right.
Just found a way to generate money without even having the best of singers on their list. And if we have to use out of tone, and if y'all okay with it, we can still make our millions, we okay.
You know, and to add to that, like I said, I have no problem with auto-tune. Like anything else, it's something that's cool, it's different, and it's a way to take hip-hop to a different level and to take it different directions. But like all things, you need to keep changing direction. You don't stick on one direction forever. So the thing is, to dabble in it, to bring it back, to have one album with it, it is being done too much, and it's being done as a like you said, a means of not having to have a good quality singer anymore. But with all that said, the biggest problem with the music industry today is all the things we've spoken about already, not auto-tune, because if the content, you know, if that's what we have to accept for when someone makes it to the top and works with the best labels and they have to have everything sound a certain way, then that's fine. If the content and the artist and everything else was good about it, I don't think we'd mind the fact that it was auto-tune. We could accept fine that they want to put out a perfect product. But that the problem is there is no content, and they're getting away with that because of auto-tune. They can make it sound radio-friendly. And just put something out there that doesn't have content, substance, and selling sex, selling drugs, still selling the image, like you said.
Right.
On Today's Music Sucks by Psychosphere, she writes, mainstream music nowadays is so boring and dull. They lack soul, meaning, and good beats. Now it's all about money, fame, sex, and gangster wannabes. Today's music is dominated by all these clubbing and R&B artists, and they suck. I hate them. I basically stopped listening to radio a few years ago because all I hear is just utter nonsense. Same goes with music videos. All I see on MTV are artists dressing like prostitutes, club scenes, sex scenes, and again, gangster wannabes. It's just so revolting to look at. I mean, I'm fine with having sexy scenes on music videos because who wouldn't want to see them? But there's a limit to it. And they say video games are bad for kids. What do you guys think of that?
I'll let you start on that.
Go on, Thaddeus.
I have to go back to the energy.
blame the artists. The artists really have little say-so on the content, on what they put out there and promote. It's these big guys up in these, who in these big offices who's not in touch with what society wants. The only way they know what we really want, and this is how they track it, is through sales. If they put it out and it sells well, they believe that that's what the mass wants. And that's what they market to. They don't care about the guy, the few guys that don't like the image or the portrayal of the artist, because you're not buying albums or you're not making any effect in the sales of those albums. And I just put it back in the shoulders of the labels. I don't think it would ever change if an artist came up and wanted to do something different. If the industry, if that label don't want to see it done, it's not going to get done. And the sad thing about it, the avenue to make your own album and promote it and distribute it nationwide is so costly that it makes it almost impossible for a guy like me to start a revolution in the industry.
You know what, and to come off of that real quick, I agree with what you're saying, and a point I wanted to make is that there is one way for a talented artist to make it in the music industry. There's only one sure way, and the problem is most of us can't afford to do it and just don't have the resources and aren't rich enough. But the artist that is talented enough, and it might be rare to find a match, but you have an artist that is talented enough. He's got the music, and let's not forget, for any up-and-coming artists that want to try this business, the music's got to be good enough. You got to be talented enough, and you have to have enough people around you to get an honest opinion. Like, that's what American Idol. You see these shows where people get embarrassed. Maybe they get a reality check. You got to know. People around you have to be convinced that you're good enough, because if you're not even good enough, then it's a complete waste of your time. You might have fun, but you might be for a big letdown. So you got to be convinced by yourself and people around you that you are good enough. And then the only other obstacle is, it's too many people, there's too few labels, you need to have money. So if you did happen to have a good product and you were a good artist with a good product and you had $1 million or two, it's very rare to find that, then you can make it in this business. And what we're trying to say basically is that, of course, a lot of people that make it in this business, they buy their way in, and that's how a lot of average music gets big on the radio, because a lot of people, as we know, it's a business. You have $1 million to pay to a record company or to pay to a radio station, I'm sure you'll get your spins as long as the quality is up to par.
That's correct.
I just wanted to add that money goes a long way. If you're not rich, it's really hard to make it in this business.
That's
or don't
correct.
Have somebody to fund you.
You need someone to fund you. That's what I find is the most difficult part of it, because it's the financial resources, and it's not like banks give you loans like they do for any other type of business. No, if you want to start another business up, you know, you can go to the bank and ask them for a small business loan to get started. But you can't tell them you want to be a hip-hop artist to go into the bank and ask them for a small business loan to start.
That's a risk. That's a big risk.
It just makes what happens. So, I mean, unless you got a rich uncle or auntie or you run into somebody that got the funds,
You
really, really going to need somebody that believes in you, that has the money to get you going.
Absolutely. And then the biggest point is that the point here is that it is almost impossible to make it in the music business. Very few people are fortunate enough to get there, whether it's because of their talent or their connections or both.
Right.
And the bottom line is, and this is why we're doing this show, and I appreciate you, Taz, because speaking to someone like you reminds me of why I got into it in the first place, and it gets in your blood. The creativity, the drive to
work,
right, that makes you feel good, and even if one other person hears it, to expose it. And I appreciate what you're doing, because if anything else, you're pursuing it, you're making music. And we're talking about money and making it in the industry, but it's a beautiful thing that millions of people are trying to make it and are making music, because some of it will get out there, and it won't if people give up. People have to still keep trying, and new generations have to. There's always going to be a new young kid that thinks he can make it, and that's what makes good music. People that there's enough people out there trying that we do find some gems once in a while, and someone that we find special that we remember, and lost people like Tupac Shakur and Biggie Smalls and Big Pun and Aaliyah and all these people that. Has so much more to give, and these are some special people. There's a lot more of them out there. We just haven't probably discovered yet.
Right.
And you really don't need a record deal. You need a distribution deal,
absolutely,
and advertisement deal.
Right.
If you got distribution and advertisement, damn radio, damn the record companies. You can be out there on your own tip, your own revolution. Like Thaddeus said, you can start your own revolution by having distro and having a few videos nationwide and advertisement, you know, talking to different people, plugging your show. Hey, then you got it. I mean, you don't need a record company to help you succeed. You really need the distribution deal. That's where it counts. So people can see you.
And to play off of that is a very good point, and I wasn't mentioning that before. Too many people have they're reaching for the stars, and there's nothing in between. They're reaching, and myself included. We all fall into that trap where your goal is to make it big, to get signed, and to have a hit single, and to make millions of dollars. But people lose sight of that, like you just said. You can. There is a way to make a living in a business. It's doing what you said, having a distribution deal, going in as an independent label, and working hard like any business owner pushes their produce, or pushes their clothing, pushing your product. You can make a living. I believe it's much easier to make a living in this business than it is to make it big, as for all the obstacles. So more people
mm-hmm.
should focus on accepting a living, even if it's a modest living. If you can make a living doing something you enjoy, I think more people need to focus on trying to achieve that rather than trying to be millionaires.
Right. And the good thing is with the way they kind of, I think, deregulate the industry, it is reachable, like you said, to make a living in this industry. You find your niche, whether it be promote locally in your hometown, you know, start in your backyard, get some of those smaller market radio stations, not the big cities, you know, because the big cities are only going to play what's hot right now worldwide. So you have to find your demographics. You know, you have to really sit down and come up with a nice plan before you say, okay, I'm going to just do it. You know, and I know a lot of young kids really probably don't have the knowledge or the experience, and if you don't, I would advise you to try. If you can, because I know there's a lot of people that try to live off your dreams, but if you can investigate two or three people that say they can put you in the right direction so that you won't feel like you lost in the maze, because that's one of my biggest things. When I first started, I was spending money and just throwing money out the window because people fed off my dream and they saw my passion. They knew I was willing to spend whatever it took to get there. But these guys really weren't doing the work that was promised to me.
And to piggyback off of that, sorry to interrupt real quick, but I don't want to get into it too much, but besides the people that are trying to piggyback off a talented artist, then you have lawyers and agents and fraudulent people out there that are piggybacking off the talent the same way, and I experienced it myself, where they're going to tell you that they have the connects, they have everything. They take a vulnerable person that's hungry, and they tell you got to spend 20 grand here, 10 grand here. You do it, and you get robbed. So be careful of that, because there's as much of that out there as there is people trying to just piggyback on your talent and try to play a role in your success.
Exactly. So do your research, you know, talk to two or three people before you make a decision. And, you know, of course, this is all about a risk, so you're going to probably have to trust someone eventually. But make sure you've done your due diligence before you just jump out there, because it'll save you a whole lot of time and money. Trust me.
Absolutely.
Well, fellas, I really appreciate you guys being on here, because we've talked, you know, one-on-one. I talked one-on-one to both of you guys. And that's why I came up with the idea for this show, The State of Urban Music Today. And usually I'm playing music. We got some other guests in here. But I just wanted to talk about how, and it's a passion for me, because I do music. And I love music. And it's a passion for me. And I hate to see it going down so bad on the wrong turn. But, of course, we're going to catch that right highway in a minute, I'm sure. Somebody going to flip this the other way, because it's right now I can't listen to radio. It's horrible for me.
Same for me here. But like you said, if you keep doing what you're doing, shows like yourself and people that are still out there trying to focus on positive music and exposing artists, that's all you could do. The rest is in God's hands, but all you could do is people like yourself that still believe in it, that haven't lost hope. You know, it's not, you don't care at all about the money. You just care about exposing the music and the passion you have for it, and that's great. It's a beautiful thing that you don't care about how much money you make. You love it. You love doing this. You're going to do it regardless. Nothing's going to get in the way of you doing it.
Exactly.
That's true. Thaddeus, give your information out where people can hit you up And also, I want you to do the same, LC.
The best way
to reach me at right now is just at ThaddeusCartwright@yahoo.com. That's my full name. That's ThaddeusEus. Cartwright is CARTWRIGHT at yahoo.com. That's the best place to contact me. You can even contact me on my cell phone. I give that out. It's 713-562-6816. You can hit me up there. Right now, as far as my business, I'm making a whole lot of tracks. If anyone's interested in looking for music for themselves or artists, you can contact me or for any advice. If you're in a situation where you feel a little lost, maybe I can help navigate you to some things you can do. I'm not going to say I'm an expert at it, but again, I took a lot of bumps and bruises bringing my own self up, so if I can help eliminate some of those for you, I'll be more than happy to answer your questions. So feel free to contact me.
That's fantastic. That's great. People like that, lending their advice just to anybody and offering it without asking for money, that's just a beautiful thing. That's more that's needed. If anyone would like to ever bounce anything off of me, ask me any questions, you can reach me at precisionhits@gmail.com. And so again, precision, PRECISION, precision spelled out, hits.com, precisionhits@gmail.com. And feel free to email, and of course, if anyone ever had to ask any question, wanted to pick our brain or anything, because people do need help, and if more people, like he was saying, research, they maybe would make less mistakes and not get robbed of money while they're pursuing their dream.
And LC, I want to tell you, man, you even though you may have stopped doing your music, you need to continue to do it, dog, because it's still in you, so you need to continue to do it. And also, just like Thaddeus, he's still doing it, and I'm still doing it. So I really suggest you continue to do it, because I'm telling you, when I looked you up on MySpace, I was like, wow, I got to get this dude in here, man. This dude is bad.
I really appreciate you saying that. And, yeah, the passion is in you, but life happens. You get married, you want to have children, you have to find a way to achieve what else you're looking for besides the passion you have with your creative side. But I definitely will continue to record music, and in my life, I'm sure I will record more, get back in the studio, even if it is just for myself and whoever I want to share with it. You know, I definitely will, even if it's not to pursue it and to go out aggressively. At the least, I would record music just for the, like you said, for the passion of writing and recording and sharing.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, you might not get rich selling it, but you could make a couple of dollars and get some gas money. You know what I'm saying?
Can't argue with that, absolutely. Or just most importantly, just to expose it. That's all. The most important thing for me the whole time, looking back on it, yes, I did fall into the trap of wanting to make money, but ever since I started, the most important thing was just for people to hear it. I would have been more happy if I made it big, just so millions of people can hear my music, more than the millions of dollars you can make. It's just that everyone hears this thing that you created. That's what it's about.
Right.
I'm going to leave you guys with this. The week ending May 30th, 2010, U.S. music industry sold a total of 4,984,000 albums, according to Nissan SoundScans, the fewest sold in 1 week since SoundScan began compiling this data in 1944. The music industry does need help and a realignment, really. I'm going to leave you with a gospel rapper by the name of I-Rock, Positive, and one of the young kids doing this thing out here. The name of the song is Brighter Days. Thank you, LC. Thank you, Thaddeus Cartwright, for being on. And I will begin with you, brothers. Thank you.
Thanks, same to you, and a pleasure being on with everybody. Absolutely a pleasure.
Pleasure meeting you.
Same here. Okay, good night, guys.
It's my life. Can you tell me what to do with my life? It's a hard night life, my life. Can you tell me what to do, Lord, what I'm going to do?
I'm for a ride today, trying to make it through. Smile on your face, stress and drama all the time. Yeah, I'll let you know that it's gonna be okay. Hey. I'm all right, I'm trying to make it through.
so past due rent from early this year back in April. Yeah, let me help you out, homie. You ain't gotta be on the block trying to be somebody selling weed to a dope fiend. Now you're killing your own dream. Granted, you could be the best man you could be. I wish you see what I see. It's always open, just walk into your destiny. All you gotta do is believe and see. 10, heart of double C, which always means to rely on Christ completely.
Yeah.
Hey, what's up, what's up, what's going down? Hey, my name is Ron L. Pretty soon to be changed to Smooth Sounds. I met my man TAZ over in Nuremberg, Germany in 1988. Where we were putting our thing down, having a good time, you know. We lost contact when we got back to the States here, maybe a few years after that, but just so happened by the information superhighway, I found his address and I found a number in the computer there. And I called it up, checked to see if that was him, was in the location. And sure enough, that was him when he answered the phone. So we're back in contact, we're doing our thing, and trying to get things going. But I also like to congratulate him and DJ Stroke for putting out ATAZP Recorded Live. ATAZP Recorded Live on the radio internet. Yeah.